is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Last Tuesday, I stood in line for 2 hours and 10 minutes to vote. And people were complaining about the length of the lines, about the time they were having to wait, about the poll workers, about it was too hot in the building. And I thought, how we as a nation and our society have become so impatient. We are a nation of fast food restaurants and microwaves and instant gratification and instant on TVs and gas pumps that pump gas so fast sometimes you can't stop it before it comes out of the gas tank. Well, God's Word teaches us that we need to be patient. And our text this morning is found in James, the 5th chapter, verses 5 through 12. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read James 5, I said 5 through 12, James 5, 7 through 12. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. I'm indebted today for most of today's message for an outline from Pastor Stephen Shepherd. As Connie and I know all too well, doctors are operating their practices today like assembly lines. Well, the story is told of one man who walked into the doctor's office up to the reception window, and the receptionist asked him what he had. Shingles, he replied. So she took down his name, address, and insurance information and told him to sit, please, in the waiting room. 15 minutes later, a nurse's aide came by, escorted him to an examination room, and asked him what he had. He answered shingles. So she recorded his height and weight and complete medical history, and she told him to wait in the examining room. A half an hour later, a nurse came by and asked him what he had. He replied, shingles. So she drew blood and took his blood pressure and administered an electrocardiogram and told him to take off all his clothes and put on one of those lovely paper gowns, and the doctor would be in to see him. An hour later, the doctor came in and asked, what do you have? Shingles, he answered. Where, said the doctor. He replied, outside in the truck. Where do you want me to unload them? There are several facts that we can learn from this little story. One is that the delivery man certainly had his patient tried, and the other one probably is that he wasn't the brightest bulb in the box, or he would have said what type of shingles he had. But like life is full of situations, including waiting in doctor's office, which try our patience. How about those long lines at stoplights? How about the people that run through stoplights? How about the long checkout line on the busy day at the grocery store? How about making a long-distance call to a company or maybe to a specialist, a medical specialist, for information and being placed on hold for 15 minutes or more? Life itself tries our patience. I made the remark one day this week to the girls at the office that I was tired of being tired. It was one of those days, you know, when you'd gone to bed late and gotten up early and you were running and running and running. And do you sometimes just get tired of the world? Do you become angry and upset at all the crimes that are committed in our country and throughout the world? Do you wish that these things could come to an end? Do you wish at times that the Lord would return now and end this evil, sin-filled world in which we live? You know, the last prayer in the Bible is recorded in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, which is next to the last verse in the entire Bible. And John has been telling us, John the Apostle who wrote the book of Revelation, has been telling us the things that he saw and what Jesus has told him will be the future of mankind. And Jesus then says to him, "Yes, I am coming soon." And John prays, "Amen, come Lord Jesus." And I wonder how many of us can pray that prayer today and mean it. The reason God, I think, has not implemented the rapture yet is that he is patiently waiting for as many people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior as possibly will. He has given them every opportunity. We know he is long-suffering. God is patient, and we are not. God's patience teaches us about life. It teaches that there is more to life than just living on this planet. There is an eternity. And where we spend that eternity will depend upon whether we accept the gift of salvation, which he has offered to us through Jesus and Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus will return one day, sooner today than it was yesterday, and he will set all things straight. He will correct all errors. We may suffer for a season while we're here on this earth, yet there is a better and everlasting season ahead for us believers. We must be patient. Our text teaches us three ways to help us be patient in this life here on earth. One, remember the farmer. Two, don't grumble and swear. And three, remember Job. First, let's consider the farmer. And if you have your Bible still open, you can follow along as I read verses 7 and 8 of our text again. "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." God's word tells us that a successful farmer must be patient and wait. Several years ago, an agricultural school in Iowa conducted a study regarding crop production. And the study determined that in order to produce 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and several other elements. And in addition, rain and sunshine at the right times are required. And although many hours of a farmer's labor is needed to produce such a crop, it was estimated that only 5% of the produce raised on a farm is due to man's labor. So based on this study, a farmer must wait on rain and sunshine to produce the crop. He must be patient. If a farmer can patiently wait for a good crop, why can we not wait for God to work in our life and in this world? As we all know, and I see it on a monthly basis, this world is not a nice place in which to live, dependent upon where you live and with whom you deal. Much evil occurs on this earth each day. We may wish the Lord to return and eradicate sin and evil and all the sin and suffering and go ahead and rapture us to heaven, but we must wait. Someone said, rather than fearing what is to come, we ought to be faithful until Jesus returns. Instead of fearing the dark, we ought to be lights as we watch and wait for Him. Yes, we must wait on the Lord and work for Him until His return while we are waiting. If we're patient, our questions will be answered. People will be saved and God will be glorified. Listen to what Peter wrote regarding patience in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 15. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heaven will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. We must be patient. God is patient with us. And if we'll be patient with Him, He will come in His time and when it's best for each and every one of us. Second, our text teaches us not to grumble or swear. In verses 9 and 12 of our text, we read, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. We know that many things happen in life that make us want to grumble and complain and gripe, but grumbling about the world, grumbling about our life, grumbling about what we have or do not have is not the answer. Grumbling to each other and grumbling about each other doesn't solve anything. You know, we read in Philippians that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Don't do anything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." When we grumble and gripe and complain to someone or against someone, we need to be reminded that the judge is standing at the door. And the ultimate judge, as we know, is God. He will be there. He will hear what you're doing, and you will be condemned for doing so. Warren Wiersbe, noted theologian, wrote, "The person who must use many words, including oaths and swearing, to convince others regarding a fact, has a character flaw. If you are a Christian, you need only to say yes or no. People will believe you." Think about that. If people see you walking with Jesus, if people know that you are a believer, know you are a Christian, true Christian, not a Sunday Christian, but one who walks the walk and talks the talk day in and day out, then all you need to do is answer yes or no. And they will know that you mean what you say. You don't have to swear or curse or take an oath to make them believe it. Your yes will be yes, and your no will be no. And often I thought as I was preparing this that more often or not, when we're defending ourselves or defending our position, we start using more words. I think probably to convince ourselves as much as anyone else that what we say is true. But too much grumbling and too much talking do not cure our problems. Allow God to solve those problems. Third, our text instructs us to remember Job. If we'll look at finally at verses 10 and 11 again. "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." We talked about Job in our Bible study, and it's one of the more familiar stories, I think, in the Bible. And if we remember Job, how can we say anything negative or talk about how much we suffer in this world? God humbled Job. It is difficult to find a greater example of suffering than Job. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, and he lost his 10 children. But when Job was told that his 10 children were dead, God's word tells us that he tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. What an amazing, incredible, almost unfathomable faith that Job had. How many of us would have been praising God at the death of our children? When we consider how Job endured such terrible suffering and pain, how can we not keep living a life of faith in God? So as we go through this life day by day, we should consider the farmer. Don't swear or grumble. And remember Job. And above all, trust God with our life. As Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. If you're here today and you have professed faith in Jesus Christ, you have made that public profession, and people know that you are a believer, but you've kind of started grumbling and complaining and kind of alluding to the fact that all your problems are because God did this or God didn't do that, I ask you to examine your heart, to ask God to forgive you and to give you the guidance you need, to remember Job, to consider the farmer, and to be patient and not to grumble to someone or about someone. And if you have not accepted Jesus publicly as your Savior, but the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and has convicted you that that's what you need to do, then we invite you to come forward and share that decision with us today. And if you seek to be a member of this body of believers, I'll discuss that with you when you come forward. Please come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 275, I Surrender All.